Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, your host for the program. So blessed and happy to be here with you today. Thanks so much for joining me. Well, a couple of Fridays ago, on January 14th, shortly after midnight, the church and the world lost one of its brightest and most beautiful lights, Alice von Hildebrand. Von Hildebrand was a familiar voice on EWTN and many other Catholic outfits. She was especially known for her contribution to the understanding of the mystique and beauty of woman and of authentic femininity. She was a prolific writer, and one of her best books was entitled The Privilege of Being a Woman. Alice von Hildebrand, throughout her 98 years of life here on earth, contributed substantially to the building up of a culture of life and love. I thought today we'd spend this half hour paying tribute to this woman who modeled in many ways the virtues of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We'll discuss some of her wonderful insights into the dignity of woman and how she helped to spread this good news to countless souls. But as always, before we go any further, let's begin in prayer using one that was written by Pope St. John Paul II to Our Lady. You are blessed among all women. Blessed are you who have believed. The Mighty One worked marvels for you, the marvel of your divine motherhood, and in view of it, the marvel of your immaculate conception, the marvel of your let it be done to me. You were so continually associated to the whole work of our redemption, associated with the cross of our Savior. Your heart was pierced at the side of His heart. And now, in the glory of your Son, you unceasingly intercede for us, poor sinners. You watch over the church, whose mother you are. You watch over each of your children. You obtain from God, for us, all these graces symbolized by the rays of light coming from your open hands. If only we dare to ask them from you and come to you with the confidence and simplicity of a child. And so you guide us unceasingly toward your Son, Jesus. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. In a statement released on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade and on behalf of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Committee on Pro-Life Activities, Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore said that the Catholic Church's opposition to abortion is a response of love for both mothers and their children in the womb. As it does every year, the Church called for a day of prayer and penance this past January 22nd that the gift of every human life in the womb be protected in law and welcomed in love. In addition to having called all Catholics to fast and pray on the anniversary of the court case that legalized the killing of the unborn, the statement also invited the faithful to continue their prayers and sacrifices frequently until June, when the anticipatory decision by the Supreme Court in Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health is expected to be announced. We pray that this important case might reverse Roe and its unjust abortion license, Archbishop Laurie's statement read. And a U.S. representative from Colorado has introduced legislation that would replace the term fetus with unborn child everywhere in the federal code. Congressman Doug Lamborn, along with 19 of his colleagues, are seeking to pass the Recognizing the Unborn Act to ensure that unborn children are acknowledged and protected. The bill defines an unborn child as a member of the species Homo sapiens at any stage of development who is carried in the womb. Every single human, born or unborn, is endowed by their creator and deserves the right to life, Lamborn told a Colorado newspaper. This is why I introduced the Recognizing the Unborn Act, which acknowledges the inherent fact that an unborn child is a human life. Far too often, those on the left try to dehumanize and degrade the life of unborn children. My legislation continues to fight to recognize and protect the most vulnerable in our society, Lamborn explained. In addition to the Unborn Act, Lamborn has also introduced a Child Tax Credit for Pregnant Moms Act, which would extend tax credits to pregnant women. And the Seventh Circuit Court is deciding whether or not several Indiana abortion abortion regulations should be allowed to permanently take effect. In August of 2021, U.S. District Court Judge Sarah Evans Barker had issued a ruling declaring several of the laws unconstitutional. Indiana quickly appealed the ruling, and in September, a Seventh Circuit panel stayed Barker's injunction until the court could issue a final ruling. Arguments were presented in a 50-minute hearing on January 12th, with a couple of the judges questioning if the case should be held back pending a forthcoming U.S. Supreme Court decision on abortion rights. Some of the provisions that are being contested include laws that permit only physicians to provide a first trimester or medication abortion, a second trimester hospitalization requirement, a ban on telemedicine for medication abortions, and a required disclosure that includes details on fetal pain and the mental health risks of abortion. And finally, 28 unborn children were intentionally killed this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, the highest one-week figure on record. Driving up the number this week were several women who made the trip to Bloomington from Kentucky to have their unborn babies killed. Many of the women also came from right here in Monroe County. Please consider taking some time on Thursdays to stop by there at 421 South College Avenue to pray and to give a public witness for life. And that's your weekly in the news. Well, as I mentioned in the beginning of today's Pro-Life to the Max, on Friday, January 14th, God called home to him at the age of 98, a most charming and virtuous soul, Dr. Alice von Hildebrand. Von Hildebrand was born in Belgium in 1923 before fleeing to America in 1940 to escape Nazi occupation. Shortly after her arrival in New York City, she attended Fordham University, where she met and eventually married her husband, the famed philosopher and theologian Dietrich von Hildebrand. In 1947, Alice began teaching at Hunter College and was eventually appointed professor of philosophy there, where she remained for 37 years. And upon her retirement, she traveled around the world, lecturing on many topics, but especially being a clear voice on all things Catholic. She authored countless articles and papers and made no less than 80 appearances on EWTN. As just one small example of her fine work, in May of 2015, von Hildebrand delivered the commencement address to the graduates of Christendom College. Here, as she so often did, von Hildebrand drew upon the Church's teaching, sacred scripture, and her own studies on feminism to impart upon the graduating seniors some deep insights into the true dignity of womanhood. Using the Proto-Evangelium and the Incarnation, von Hildebrand pointed out in her speech the sharp contrast between God's beautiful plan for woman and life with that of his enemy's plan, death, and the rejection of womanhood and her maternity. What is it that is so incredibly important about women today? Von Hildebrand asked. The answer is very simple. The vicious attacks made by feminists on the beauty and dignity of being a woman and the incredible mission that women have in this world today, she answered. She went on, telling the Christendom graduates, "Keep in mind that we are at a crossroad. Today, the mission of women is to become conscious of their beauty and the dignity of their function. My husband always said to me, it is crucial to diagnose a time in particularly. And I say today, until women rediscover the beauty of their mission and stand for life, the world is doomed." In her later years, it seems that Alice von Hildebrand's main mission was to warn about the epic battle taking place between Mary and the anti-Mary, about how demonic forces were voraciously attacking one of the most foundational human relationships, that between the mother and child. And you know, when I think about this evil spirit that is plaguing our times, and I'll call it an anti-Madonna and child spirit, I think of what Mel Gibson did artistically in the Passion of the Christ movie to symbolize it. I'm sure you can recall the scene during the scourging when, as the soldiers were brutally flogging our Lord and tearing his sacred flesh from his body, an anti-Madonna and child can be seen passing through the crowd of onlookers. Here, Satan is depicted as this sort of androgynous, yet almost beautiful-looking lady who is carrying and cradling in his arms this grotesque-looking child whose face looks quite old. It's really an uncannily striking scene, and a lot of people wondered what it meant and why it was even included in the movie. Basically, it was a demonic parody of the Blessed Virgin Mary and her divine son. In interviews, Mel Gibson provided his own insight on the portrayal. He said, "I believe the devil is real, but I don't believe he shows up too often with horns and smoke and a forked tail. The devil is smarter than that. Evil is alluring, attractive. It looks almost normal, almost good, but not quite. That's what I tried to do with the devil in the film. The actor's face is symmetric, beautiful in a certain sense, but not completely. For example, we shaved her eyebrows. Then we shot her almost in slow motion so you don't see her blink, something that's not normal. We dubbed in a man's voice in Gethsemane even though the actor is a woman. That's what evil is about, taking something that's good and twisting it a little bit." And then commenting on that hideous baby, Gibson said, "Again, it's evil distorting what's good. What is more tender and beautiful than a mother and a child? So the devil takes that and distorts it just a little bit. Instead of a normal mother and child, you have an androgynous figure holding a 40-year-old baby with hair on his back. It is weird, it's shocking, it's almost too much. Just like turning Jesus over to continue scourging him on his chest is shocking and almost too much, which is the exact moment when this appearance of the devil and the baby takes place." Well, in my opinion, that's some artistic brilliance there to lay out for us how evil can disguise itself as a good. And this is especially true as it concerns the attack on woman, motherhood, and the child. Contraception and abortion took the mysterious and beautiful gift and good of a woman's fertility and twisted it into something evil. Well, this is the sort of thing that Alice von Hildebrand was trying to point out her entire life, but especially in her later years as the battle against the mother and child reached a fever pitch. In a great interview that von Hildebrand did with Zenit News Agency at the turn of the 21st century, the philosopher lamented how the poison of secularism had penetrated deeply into our society, doing so by stages. She said that the first victims were men. She said that the devil convinced men that in order to be someone special, they had to succeed in the world, meaning money, power, recognition, inventiveness came first. A lot of men bought the lie and then sacrificed their wives and their children in order to achieve worldly things. Thus, she went on to say, wives felt like they were mere appendices, there only to be used. Then along came feminism. But instead of making women more profoundly aware of the beauty and dignity of their role as wives and mothers, and of the spiritual power that they could exercise over their husbands to get things turned around in the right order, feminism instead led women to adopt a secularist mentality too. Women wanted to become just like men, just as men wanted to become as gods. Von Hildebrand said that women let themselves be convinced that femininity meant weakness. Women started to look down upon the virtues of patience, selflessness, self-giving, tenderness, modesty, purity, and upon motherhood and being homemakers. They aimed to become like men in all things, to be a parody of man, we might say. Von Hildebrand said that those women who fell into the traps of wanting to become just like men sold their birthright for a mess of pottage. They became blind to the fact that men and women, though equal in ontological dignity, were made different by God's choice. Male and female, he made them, different and complementary. Each sex having its strengths, each sex having its weaknesses. According to God's admirable plan, the husband is to help his wife overcome these weaknesses so that all the treasures of her femininity will come to full bloom, and vice versa. In the interview with Zenit, von Hildebrand said that, granted that from a naturalistic point of view, men are stronger, not only because they are physically stronger, but also because they tend to be more creative, more inventive, and more productive. Most great works in theology, philosophy, and fine arts have been made by men. They are the great engineers, the great architects, von Hildebrand said. But the Christian message is that, valuable as all these inventions are, they are dust and ashes compared to every act of virtue, she said. Because a woman by her very nature is maternal, for every woman, whether married or unmarried, is called upon to be a biological, psychological, or spiritual mother, she knows intuitively that to give, to nurture, to care for others, to suffer with and for them, for maternity implies suffering, is infinitely more valuable in God's sight than to conquer nations and fly to the moon. Natural strength cannot compete with supernatural strength, von Hildebrand said. This is why Mary, the blessed one, is strong as an army ready for battle. And yet, she is called, O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. This supernatural strength explains why the devil fears this humble virgin more than God, because her supernatural strength that crushes his head is more humiliating for him than God's strength. This is why the evil one is today launching the worst attack on femininity that has ever taken place in the history of the world, she said. For coming closer to the end of time and knowing that his final defeat is coming, he redoubles his efforts to attack his one great enemy, the woman. It says in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman. But the final victory is hers, as seen in the woman crowned with the sun, von Hildebrand proclaimed. Von Hildebrand was always convinced that the mission of women today is of crucial importance. She believed that they had the key to sanity and were the first step toward a conversion. Why so? Because their influence on men is enormous when they truly understand their role and mission, she stated. As an example, she said, again and again, I hear priests say that they owe their vocation to their grandmother or mother. Von Hildebrand also said that women were the key to righting the wrongs of society because they are the guardians of purity, or at least they are meant to be. And this is part of why von Hildebrand also spoke much on the subject of modesty and about how things that are sacred or holy are veiled, indicating a great mystery is present. Immodesty tears away that veil, and the purity and beauty of the female body is no longer considered sacrosanct. So a return to modesty is key to the restoration of society. Von Hildebrand, in that same Zenit interview, also mentioned how feminism actually began in Protestant countries. She thinks because they began turning their backs on Christ's mother. And as they did so, no longer was Mary the model of women. Protestants didn't contemplate her virtues, her beauty, her dignity. And I think this is a very fair point that von Hildebrand makes here. You know, I recall one time there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, it was abortion day, and sometime during the late morning, a man, probably in his early 40s, pulled in and got out. I introduced myself and asked if we could offer help, especially if he was meeting a woman there for an abortion. Well, come to find out, he was a local pastor bringing in some material for Planned Parenthood. And he fully supported abortion and had bought into the lie that women needed to have access to it in order to have equality with men. Well, we went back and forth in a very congenial way, and as he was ready to take his leave, I offered him a miraculous medal. At first, he accepted it, and then as he was walking back to his car, he stopped dead in his tracks, turned around and walked back to me and handed me the medal back, saying, I can't accept this. We don't do Mary. We only do Jesus. And I think the Holy Spirit assisted me as I immediately pointed out to him, ah, I see. So you reject the woman. You could tell this cut him to the heart, but his only response was touche. And then he got in his car and left, and I never saw him again. Now, my point wasn't to win an argument. I just really wanted him to see the connection between having this loving affection and devotion to the Mother of God and how it translates into having the same appreciation and concern for all women. I still pray for this pastor, and my hope is that he will one day see this interconnection and will come to reject abortion and contraception, knowing that women deserve better. On another occasion, while I was there praying during 40 Days for Life, carrying an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, an older lady was going into what is now the United Way building, right next to Planned Parenthood, and she commented on the image that I was carrying. She told me how happy she was to see me out there with a picture of the Mother of God. She said she wasn't Catholic, but that being a Presbyterian or an Episcopalian, I can't quite remember for sure, she too knew the love and reverence owed to Christ's Mother. She said the world needed to hear this so that it could know the dignity of every woman through Mary. She also thanked me for being out there. Now, that was a beautiful and welcome contrast. She got it. So getting back to von Hildebrand's statement about how the loss of reverence and devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary paved the way for feminism and ultimately things like contraception and abortion, I think it makes complete sense about why this is so. And this is why the battle to end abortion and build up a culture of life and love must include turning to Christ's Mother for help, to ask for help, to model her virtues, and to beg for her intercession. Women have a large and important role to play in rebuilding the culture because they are meant to follow in the footsteps of the Holy Virgin. Well, ending her interview with Zenit, von Hildebrand said, "Mary taught us two rules leading to holiness. One is, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. This indicates that the woman's mission is to let herself be fecundated by grace, holy receptivity. The second is, do whatever he tells you. This is the holy program that the church offers us. No doubt if women understood this message, marriage, the family, and the church would overcome the terrible crisis affecting us. As the liturgy says, God has put salvation in the hands of a woman," she said. Just so beautifully and articulately expressed there by Dr. Alice von Hildebrand. Well, let's contemplate how as soon as those most sweet words left the mouth of the Holy Virgin, "Be it done unto me according to thy word," the heart of Jesus, inflamed with love for sinful and estranged mankind, began to beat with a passionate love in the immaculate womb of the most blessed Virgin Mary. The tiny little Lord Jesus, reversing the sin of Adam, who once had exclaimed of Eve, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man," was compelled to acknowledge the words of the woman, the new Eve, "See, he shall be called son of man, for he was taken out of woman, for he is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." The knot of disgrace for the human race that Eve had tied by her disobedience was undone and reversed by the obedience and fiat of Mary. For as the sin of disobedience of both man and a woman expelled mankind from the Garden of Eden, so the obedience of both a man and a woman was used to open up the gates of heaven to the eternal garden. No doubt these sentiments flowed through the very veins and arteries of the little Lord Jesus in the womb of his mother, just as assuredly as his precious blood, whose material was obtained from the heart of the woman, coursed through them. "You have given everything to me, mother, in order to help save mankind," we can imagine the little Lord Jesus saying, "and I now give you, mother, everything I have in return." Well, who can ever begin to know or imagine the sublime and affectionate discourses that went on between the mother and the child within her womb for those precious 9 months? Well, then after his birth, we can imagine that she studied his every word, his every action, his every prayer and sacrifice, seeking to imitate him perfectly. For as he was formed in her maternal womb, she was formed in the womb of divine love. But the ultimate sacrifice and the proof of whether a love is true can only be found by the way of the cross, a death to self for love of others. Both man and the woman gave their fiat on Mount Calvary, the Mount of Sacrifice. The evil wrought from the eating of the forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is wholly overcome and conquered by the permission, the fiat of the man and woman, to allow his flesh and bones taken from hers to be nailed to the wood of the cross, that everlasting tree of life. Do we truly hear and take to heart one of the final words and commands of our dear Savior? "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." Do we behold, contemplate, watch, observe our mother. Can't we imagine of how upon losing their beloved master, the distraught and desolate apostles would have gazed ever more closely upon the Virgin? They beheld her. In the days following his death, desperate to behold his countenance once again, they saw his eyes in hers, his lips in hers, all of his features in hers, his movements, his mannerisms in hers. And they saw his words, his actions, his prayers, fully and perfectly formed in her. For just as he had taken on her human nature, she had so completely taken on his divine nature as his perfect disciple. They flocked to her. They loved her, for she was the mother of their Savior. And this is why we must pray the rosary. We go to her, for we see in her the face of Jesus. We remember the words of the angel Gabriel, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." And we recall those precious words of the Virgin in response to Gabriel's salutation that formed the beginning of our salvation. "Be it done unto me according to thy word." With each Hail Mary, we are pulled into the life of the Most Holy Trinity. With each Hail Mary, we enter into the most sublime mysteries of our faith and our salvation. God willed it thus. There can be no child without the mother. Abortion is rampant and is looked upon as a right. Child abuse is widespread, and the physical, mental, and spiritual maltreatment of our youth only grows darker. Motherhood and fatherhood are denigrated. The family is in a crisis as never before. This is because the most glorious and profound mysteries of our faith have been forgotten. The mother and the child have been separated. But God said, "What I have joined, let no man separate." We must work to bring them both back, especially through the devout recitation and meditation of the Most Holy Rosary, the beautiful mysteries of our faith that, as a spiritual umbilical cord, weave the life of the child together with his mother. Dr. Alice von Hildebrand once said that we should be sure to spend time meditating upon how the conception of a new human person takes place. She said, "Think about this. The husband embraces his wife and injects in her body a substance capable, when united to her egg, to produce life. You see, therefore, a woman, when her husband embraces her, should be conscious of the fact that this is a sacred mystery that happens in her body. A new human person comes into existence. But it's not quite a person yet," she said. "It is simply a substance that God gives a soul. The soul comes not from the husband, it comes from God. He puts the soul in the fecundated egg. Now, therefore, at this very moment," and meditate well on this, she said, "there is an immediate contact between God and the female body. God comes and touches the fecundated egg, and in this moment there is a new human person. Therefore, the dignity of the female is that God, so to speak, has a direct contact with her body." What a gift Alice von Hildebrand was to the Church and to the world. She so beautifully and graciously explained the sacred mission of woman and how it was to follow closely in the footsteps of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Borrowing the words from Cardinal Raymond Burke, von Hildebrand said, "We are living in an apocalyptic time, a time of utter confusion." Von Hildebrand's answer to the challenge before us was to advocate strongly for women to embrace their role as mother, be it biological or spiritual. "To be a mother," she said, "is to be totally self-giving and to say, 'I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me,' to receive, to accept, to be fecundated. That is the greatness of a woman's role." Let us thank God for the life of his servant, Alice von Hildebrand, and let us pray that her teachings and writings will continue to inspire all women to embrace wholeheartedly their femininity so that a culture of life and love may prevail. Thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.